Right. I appreciate you finding your seat there, turning in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25 is really is where it is. It says 24, it should be 25. 1 Thessalonians 5, 25. Brethren, pray for us. It doesn't take long to get that one down, does it? All right. Let's see if you can memorize it. All right. It's great to memorize Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 25. Let me read it one more time, and then we'll say it out loud together. You can look at your Bible, and then we'll look up here and do it. All right, here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5, 25, brethren, pray for us. All right. Okay, look up this way, and let's see if we got it memorized. Ready? Brethren, pray for us. I believe 100% of you got that. That's great. All right. You get a star tonight. That's fantastic. We're talking about the issue of prayer, and if you'll look there on your prayer bulletin, we want to learn how to pray for others, want to be good intercessors. The Lord is a God who loves to answer prayer. And you know that He loves for us to take our burdens and problems to Him. He loves to sort those out. And He always proves Himself to us as He does that. And it's a wonderful thing. One of our missionaries sent a prayer letter in this week, and they were talking about two prayer requests that children had, boys and girls had. Somebody's not too young, are they? The Lord loves to hear, Lord Jesus, come in my heart and forgive me of my sins. He loves to save boys and girls, but He loves to hear their prayers. And one of them involved a little boy in the church there in Arcos in Brazil. And he had participated in their church. They had a faith promise offering where you ask the Lord to lay on your heart a certain amount that you're going to give to missions throughout the year. And you trust the Lord to provide that. And the little fellow signed up. I don't know how much it was. I don't know how much the money there in Brazil is. And it's not familiar to me. But I'm just going to give a figure. I'm going to say $10, okay, so $10. He said, I want to give $10. Well, then he realized he didn't have it and began to bother him, so he went to the missionary and he said, could I work for you? Could I work for the church to get that? And he told him, look, we surely find something around here for you to do, and that's okay, but why don't you trust the Lord for this? Why don't you ask God to provide it? And so the fellow said, okay, they had prayer together. The little boy prayed, asked the Lord to provide the money, the $10, so he could give that to missions and fulfill the faith promise that he had made. And next day he was at home, and he had to do some work at house, and the things he had to do was clean up his room. And as he was cleaning up his room, he found a wallet that he had lost like a year before. And in the wallet was the amount that he needed for the faith promise. And, you know, he could have found that wallet at any time, but he found it. The Lord, helped him to find it after he prayed and asked the Lord. And he was so excited he had the money in order to take care of his faith promise. By the way, again, no prayer is too small or insignificant, is it? The missionary also was mentioning the Ingrams, that their son and daughter, they gave them both a chicken for a pet. Now, I don't know why anybody would want a chicken for a pet. I'd see a chicken to lay eggs or a chicken to have fried chicken. I don't know, but I don't know why you want one for a pet. They mainly just eat and cause problems after they eat. But anyway, the kids loved those chickens, and somebody left the door open, the gate open, and they got out. One of them, their daughters, they found in the front yard trying to find food. That's about all they're good for, trying to find food out there. And so they put it back in, but the other one was long gone. They didn't know what to do. And it just broke the heart of their little boy. And they thought, well, we'll just get him another chicken. And then they thought, listen, let's pray and ask the Lord to do something about this. So the little boy wanted to pray, and so he prayed and asked the Lord to help him find his chicken. Next morning, they woke up, and they heard the familiar sound of that chicken, only it was further away than it normally was, and it was in their neighbor's yard. And they went over there. What had happened is a neighbor did not realize it was their chicken, but the chicken was out in the road, and there was a dog about to eat it, about to attack it and kill it. And so she went and rescued the chicken, put it in the backyard until she could figure out who it belonged to or where it was supposed to be. And you say, oh, brother, that's not the Lord answering prayer. That's the Lord answering prayer. That's the way that he works. Just a few weeks ago here, I mentioned about down in Venezuela, how that a camp that has been a blessing since the 1970s, it's like the Wilds where we send folks to, or the Bill Rice Ranch, we send some folks up there occasionally. We've had some teens and juniors go up there. Since the 1970s, big bushfire closing in on that camp. And in the middle of the night, all they could do was just ask people to pray. The authorities couldn't do anything. They couldn't stop the bushfire. The people that lived on the grounds there, they couldn't stop it. The missionary over there that was kind of the leader of that camp was a couple of hours away, couldn't do a thing. But all they could do is pray. And they let the word out all over the world. People prayed. And the caretakers there on the property said if they hadn't seen it, they would never have believed it. The fire went right up to the property line, and it burned out and stopped. And, you know, I don't know. You say, preacher, that's just coincidence. How many of you have had some coincidences? Yeah, I've had those kind of coincidences. I believe the Lord did those things. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25, the Apostle Paul is pleading with folks to pray for him. And he said again, brethren, pray for us. Will you notice on your sheet just a few things very quickly? I know we went through the issues of prayer back earlier in the last Sunday school quarter in our adult classes. And I think our teens also did some of that. And so I don't want to belabor things, but you know, we could probably stand to hear it again. And even though this is different than what we did in Sunday school, will you notice the attitude of prayer? ACTS is a little acronym, okay? And it's an easy way to remember what should be my attitude when I come before the Lord. And ACTS, each one of them stand for something. For example, A stands for adoration. What is adoration? It's worship. When I come before the Lord, I want to say, make sure that my heart is in tune to the Lord. I'm thinking about what a great and mighty God He is. Come Sunday, be in Sunday school. Have your kids in Sunday school. Let them hear about how great and mighty our God is, all the great qualities of our God that He tells us about in His Word. You'll have more to worship Him for if you know more about Him. And so I should be come with a heart of worship. Secondly, there ought to be a heart of confession. Let me get you, hold your place in 1 Thessalonians and go over to 1 John chapter 1, and let's start about verse 7. Confession is about our relationship, and I need to make sure that my relationship with God is right. The Bible says that I can grieve God's Holy Spirit, and I can quench God's Holy Spirit, and when I come to pray, I don't want any distance between me and the Lord. I want to make sure that I'm right with Him. Now, I do understand this. I understand that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. He has paid for all those sins. But I realize there came a day where I had to turn to Jesus Christ and believe on Jesus Christ and receive Him as my personal Savior. I had to receive that gift. And even though my sins are covered, God is asking me to come and confess those sins and make them right with Him. And in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, if I'm going to walk with Him, I'm going to walk in the light. 1 John 1, 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It does, but I have to claim that blood. Lord, forgive me. You know, Lord, I said some things that were not true. I lied. I need Your forgiveness. Lord, I took something that didn't belong to me. God, forgive me. Lord, I was a gossip this week. I said things about folks. I wasn't sure if it's true or not, but it was nice and juicy, and I wanted to be in the know and tell others and show them that I was in the know, and I said those things. God, forgive me. And down in verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, and confess simply means to agree with God about it, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing that God, as we seize the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the way, he said that, didn't we? Down in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What a blessing. So I've got C, that's confession. And then I've got T, that's thanksgiving. That's about my friendship and fellowship with the Lord. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he wants me to be thankful for what he's already done for me. And if I just come every day, gimme, 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 and I don't stop and say, God, you've been so good to me, and I want to just thank you for some of the things today that you did for me. Lord, you gave me safety. I mean, you know, we can have all year long go back and forth to work, and then you see a terrible wreck, and then you find out it's somebody you know. And the Lord, you gave us safety. God, thank you. And you gave us health, and how the Lord loves for us to have a thankful heart. And then S is for supplication. Supplication is a Bible word that means prayer requests that God can answer. Let me say that again. Supplication is a Bible word that you come across, and it means prayer requests that God can answer. Because a lot of times we pray stuff that the Lord cannot answer. It's not specific. And God is asking for me to pray specific things so that he can answer. And that's the idea of citizenship. God is on his throne, and he's asking me to come before his throne of grace. What is grace? God giving me what I do not deserve. But he welcomes me. He pleads with me to come boldly there because he wants to do good things for me. But I humble myself before the throne of Almighty God and recognize that the only way all my needs can be met are through him. If you'll notice something else about my attitude there, it's not just my consecration. It's also continual prayer. This is pretty important. The Lord likes for me to persevere. And in the Bible, there's an instance, isn't it, where a fellow had the guests come in the middle of the night, and he went over to his neighbors to get some bread. And remember, he banged on the door, and the guy said, I'm not getting up. Go away. I don't want to talk to you. My family's asleep. Come back tomorrow. We'll talk about it. But the guy kept banging on the door. And eventually, the fellow inside said, he's not going away. And so he grabbed up some bread that he had, and he came and he gave it to that man, and he sent him home. And why did the Lord put that in the Bible? Because he wants me to be that way. He wants me to cry out to him and to persevere in my prayer life. And, you know, some people have the idea, it's not faith if you pray once, you ought to just forget about it. Well, the Lord doesn't say that. The Lord talks about persevering in prayer, coming before. Some prayer requests 20 years in the making, aren't they? I have an aunt who's in heaven tonight, and it was the fruit of 20 years of loved ones praying for her. And if I could encourage you tonight, persevere in the things that God has laid on your heart. There's another passage, and it's there in about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, and it's three little words. And let's see if we can memorize that one. Pray without ceasing. Okay, look out this way and say it real fast. Pray without ceasing. See, you guys are just all kinds of stuff that you're doing tonight. This is fantastic. Pray without ceasing is a passion. You know, if I can pray about something and forget, I can't even remember I prayed about it, you know. Pray about something and then I'm shocked the Lord answered because I forgot about it. I prayed about it 3 years ago and look, the Lord answered. No, passion is, Lord, this is burning in my soul. And whenever I bow my head to pray or whenever I close my eyes or whenever I lift up my eyes and my hands to heaven and cry out to you, it's on my mind. And the Lord says, good. I want you to do that. I want you to be passionate about things. I don't want this to be dry, dead routine. I want you to pray without ceasing. Now look at the areas of prayer. Would you notice that quickly here? We've got some areas and there's some concerns. Do you realize in the Bible there were men and women who prayed for the coming of the Lord? I'm not going to take a survey, but just ask yourself, when is the last time that I prayed as the Apostle John did, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus? You know, we should be praying, Lord, come back for us. And we believe that he's soon returning, and we're excited about that. It's called the rapture. It's over in 1 Thessalonians. We studied it just a few weeks ago in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And so we ought to pray for his coming. We ought to pray for his will. Listen, we make a lot of decisions in life. And God holds us to our choices. And we ought to be praying, Lord, what is your will? Please show it to me. And ask him. And God, as we do that, he will answer. And then we ought to pray for our daily provision. Oh, don't worry, preacher. I got it covered. I got money in the bank and got a good salary. Everything's good. No, I believe you ought to keep praying for your daily provisions. Everything can change tomorrow. All your plans can be out the window. And so daily provision. Number four on that list, praying for guidance and wisdom. Lord, guide me. Please give me wisdom. I have folks around me that are unsaved that need Christ. How can I reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, I've got children to raise, and this is a wicked world. Lord, how can I do that well? God, show me. Please give me wisdom. And you know, the Lord's not offended by that. In fact, the Lord loves to answer and give his wisdom. I'm always amazed and blessed at how he loves to do that. And then victory over temptation. God wants us to pray about victory over temptation. Lord, this is a weakness in my life. Give me wisdom and help me to overcome this. And how the Lord loves to answer those prayers. The Bible says, if you'll go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, it gets hard sometimes because it appears that many of those folks in authority today have lost their minds. But in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Lord says, pray for them. Maybe in this last days, in these hours here in our country, we realize those people up there need a whole lot more prayer than maybe at any other time. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications. Remember, those are prayer requests that God can answer. They are specific prayer requests that are on our hearts and minds that we can bring in perseverance and with passion before God's throne of grace and have him answer. It says prayers, intercessions. Intercession is praying for someone else. We were interceding for Sheldon just a little bit ago and for their family. And giving of thanks. Hey, that's that thanksgiving we were talking about, the attitude of thanksgiving to come before the Lord. But it says it should be made for all men. But verse 2, the Lord is highlighting it. And he says for kings and for all that are in authority. And we don't have a king in the United States of America, but we have a president. We don't have a king over South Carolina, but we have a governor. We don't have a king in Beaufort, but we have a mayor. And God says they deserve our prayers. When is the last time that you prayed for our president? When is the last time you prayed for our senators and our congresspeople and our folks in the state house and our city council and our county council? And God is exhorting us to pray for them, and he wants us to do that tonight. We also ought to pray for the sick over in James chapter 5. Would you go over there? What a blessing to pray for those that are sick. So, you know, our board is often filled on Sunday nights. Our men have prayer and our ladies have prayer. And our board is often filled with, and we're going to look down at verse 13. It's often filled with folks that have health issues. And many of those are not done right away. I mean, they're on the board sometimes for months. Sometimes they've been on the board for years, and then suddenly they disappear. They don't need to be on the board. God answered our prayer, and we forget. It just took a long time. The Lord didn't do that right away, but he did it. In James chapter 5 and verse number 13, it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Rejoice in the Lord, sing some good songs, and rejoice that things are going well. Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. By the way, that's not like 5W oil or, you know, olive oil necessarily. The meaning of the passage has this. I don't want you to miss it, that there's some medicinal value in putting some oil on somebody and praying over them. The powers in praying over them, the oil was the medicine. And so what's the Lord saying? He's saying, have folks pray for you, go to the doctor, take some medicine, and get well. So you're gonna anoint yourself with oil, that's medicine, and you're going to have folks pray for you. And what a joy when the local church is praying for folks. That's a blessing. Now, let's go over to 2 Corinthians. We have a very unique opportunity tonight as we close out in the last 10 minutes or so that we have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we have the opportunity to see that the people at Thessalonica, they did pray. And guess what? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 records the answers to their prayers. That's amazing. And if you'll look down at number 3 on that list, the assurances of prayer. First of all, remember Paul asked them, brethren, pray for us. You memorize that verse of Scripture. Verse 25 over there in chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I rejoice the Lord heard those prayers. For example, if you'll notice down here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and let me start in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. In fact, he's going to say over here in verse number 8 and 9, will you let your eyes go across? I've got to go across the column. But it says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, even so much that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. You understand why he's writing to Thessalonica, and he says, brethren, pray for us. But God heard their prayers. And down in verse number 4, he could write about the wonderful comfort of the Lord. It says in verse 4, who comforted us in all our tribulation, verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, the Bible word comfort has many, it's like a jewel, you know, a diamond, a jewel that's been cut, and you hold it up to the light, and it picks up different lights, and you see green and purple and blue, and you see all the colors in there. It's just gorgeous and beautiful. And the word comfort in the Bible means to literally be encouraged. Praise the Lord that God encouraged the Apostle Paul. And it is amazing how God is able to do that. I tell you what, I had two wonderful things of encouragement yesterday. There's a man who wrote us, a pastor up in Missouri, Fort Leonard Wood area up there. And he had a young man in the Army, was taking some training there, came to their church for one service, and got saved. He's from Beaufort. He no longer lives here in Beaufort. I found that out yesterday because I went to follow up on it. But he no longer lives here. He's in Savannah. He's getting ready to go to Germany. He's over at Fort Stewart. But I got to meet his dad, who's unsaved, who did not want me to witness to him. It was real when we started talking about the Lord. But he enjoyed talking about his son and the amazing changes. He's a lost man. But he was amazed at the changes that had taken place in his son. His son came home, had a girlfriend, but he told her he didn't want to live in sin anymore. So they got married. I wish you could know how many times we meet people here in our community, and we knock on their door, and you can tell that they understand the gospel and that they would like to get saved, but there's somebody in that apartment, and they're not married to them, and they know that's not right. And they know God would not approve that. And so they step back from the gospel. But I'm thankful that young man came and he said, listen, you know, if we're going to live that way, we need to be married. His father was just amazed at all these incredible changes that have taken place in a very short period of time in his life. Of course, I was able to explain to him what that is. That's what it is to have Jesus Christ in your life to change you. What an encouragement that was. You know, there's another encouragement. I came home yesterday and there was a postcard from a family that were here probably about 10 years ago. And they said, you know, we were cleaning out some stuff and we came across a bulletin from whenever. And they said, boy, we sure enjoyed our days when we were there. We ate up every bit of it and we miss it so much. And we hope soon to come your way, something to that effect. And I thought, wow, praise the Lord, what a blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 4, the people were praying for the Apostle Paul, and it says, who comforted us in all our tribulation. What is that? That's encouragement. The Bible word comfort also not mean just simply to be encouraged, but it also means exhortation. Exhortation means learning something from the situation you're in. And the Apostle Paul learned some things down in verse 9. He said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. I understand why. In fact, if you look in the Apostle Paul's life, For example, over in 2 Corinthians, a little bit further, chapter 12 there, and he talks about the things, the thorn in the flesh that he had, and all those challenges. But he understood why. Why was that? Because when he was weak, then he was strong in the Lord. And that's what comfort is. It's encouragement, but it's also exhortation, guidance, and wisdom. And so he got those things. Praise the Lord. They prayed, and that's what he got. Look in chapter 1 and verse 5. He also got consolation. It says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ." And consolation is it's suffering, but at the same time, it's a confidence that is built in the midst of that suffering. Consolation, I mean, you've been consoled. You have confidence in the Lord's control over the situation. So tonight, the Apostle Paul says, thank you for praying, because God used you. Down in verse 11, did you see it? 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 11, have you seen that verse yet? "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Oh, you were helping us by prayer. And I tell you what happened. We were comforted by that, and we had consolation from the Lord. Down in chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure." Pressed out of measure means just under attack. I mean, under incredible pressures. But you know what? The Lord gave the Apostle Paul the ability to be content and to handle it. And one other thing before we stop here, I notice in chapter 1, and it's actually verse 12, I think it's got a dot in the wrong place on the sheet there, but down in chapter 1 and verse 12, as they prayed and they helped the Apostle Paul by praying, it says in verse 12, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom." You know, when you get in a corner the way the Apostle Paul was, and I mean, you are pressed out of measure, you will do anything to get those pressures off and to get back to normal life, right? But that's not what you ought to do. And those people had prayed, and God was able to take those things and turn them around to good for all of the churches and for the Apostle Paul, and he didn't try any funny business. He didn't try to work it out in his flesh. He received God's grace, which is God's supernatural power to be able to do his will no matter what circumstance that we're in. Yes, there's amazing grace, God doing for us what we do not deserve. But there's another side of that word grace in the Bible. God talks, that's saving grace over there, amazing grace. But God's grace for the believer is his wonderful power and strength to be able to do his will no matter what the circumstances are. And he said in verse number 12, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world." Conversation is your behavior, your manner of living. "And more abundantly to you word, for ye, we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge. I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord." Praise the Lord. He is not hypocritical. You know, he's sincere. It says in godly sincerity, one of the things that the devil loves to do is to make us all into hypocrites. And how many times we've heard somebody outside the church say, "I'd go over there, but it's filled with a bunch of hypocrites." And unfortunately, a lot of times they're right. And why is that? Because the devil is so good at turning us into hypocrites. Have your kids ever caught you doing something hypocritical? Of course they have. And it's embarrassing. And, you know, I shouldn't do that. But you know who tries to turn us into a hypocrite? The devil does. And Paul says, you prayed. And it was done in sincerity. It wasn't done hypocritically. And I was helped by grace and overcame the world. And now God is using it for good. Verse 9, "But we had our sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in that, in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." And one last time, verse 11, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." I've heard this illustration for the very first time I ever heard from my father. And he used to talk about how one day in heaven, the Lord's going to open up quite a bit of warehouses and let us see all of the things that could have been ours. I'm not talking about coveting things. I'm just talking about things that we needed, things that would have made things better. And we just never got around to asking God for any help. We never came boldly before His throne of grace. And the Lord, He has a way of holding those things back. And to realize there are so many things that God has put in our lives that He wants us to come boldly before His throne of grace and to find help in time of need. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And let's see. We're going to need a piano player. I wonder if somebody go and borrow Denise there for us. I appreciate that. And we're short some folks tonight. But as you bow your head and close your eyes, let me mention just a few things. Number one, the most important issue in the world, the most important prayer that God wants to hear is, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, save me." And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." To be saved means to believe on Jesus Christ. It means to receive Him as your Savior, put your trust in Him and His finished work. But it's good to know why God used the word saved. Why did He do that? Because we have to be saved from our sins. Jesus came to this earth to be the Savior of mankind, didn't He? Why did He take the word Savior? Because He has to save people. Why does He have to save people? Because we're sinners. And why is that a problem? Aren't we all sinners? Yes. And because of that, the wages of sin is death. The Smiths are over at the funeral home tonight and in support of a family going through a terrible, terrible time. And it's an awful place to go over to a funeral home, isn't it? And why are folks there? The wages of sin is death. That's physically to die, but it's also one day to spiritually die, be separated from God forever, ever in a place called hell. We don't want to go there. And so we must be saved from our sins. Jesus Christ has taken our place, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so He did the dying so that we could enjoy the living and live forever with God in heaven, serve Him forever and ever. But the only way we can do that is by being saved from our sins. There's a one-time moment when we realize that we need a Savior, and we turn to the only one that can, and we put all of our hope on Jesus Christ. And usually when that happens, somebody calls out to Him and tells Him, "Oh God, I know I need You. Please save me." And, I don't know that it matters necessarily all the words. I've heard people pray the most perfect, beautiful prayers. I've seen them barely get a few words out, but they had the same attitude. "Oh God, I want to be saved." And God is not in the business of withholding salvation from those who come through Jesus Christ. He will not do it. He will give them salvation. Tonight, if you've never been saved, then come, let me help you. We have a gospel invitation. I'd love to invite you to come and let me get you with a person that can take the Bible, show you how to trust Jesus and be saved. You may be here tonight and you're a believer, you're saved, but you know what? Your prayer life is, it needs some work. In fact, if we could take all of the time, just like you get your notification on your phone or you get it on your tablet of how long you spent, on that screen time, and you could put that against how much time we spent in prayer to God, even if we included, "Lord, thank You for this food that I'm about to eat," those times of prayer, I think we'd be sick. Here we have this great opportunity, a throne of grace. It's wide open tonight. We have loved ones we're not praying for. We have situations that we're not taking before the Lord. We have revival coming that we're not praying about. And guess what? How the Lord wants to answer. He's looking for supplication, specific prayer requests that He can answer. Lay some before Him tonight. Why not use these front pews and these front steps and move tonight? Won't you come? Father, thank You for the opportunity to be in this place. And Lord, what a blessing. It's an odd night. We began with this wreck with Sheldon. And Lord, our hearts are going out to him, to his family, and to the suddenness of all of this. And in a little bit, we'll be able to pray for him more. But Lord, we are here tonight, and the folks that are here tonight, we have illness and sickness. We have folks that had to, because of the funeral, they had to be over there, and we had all kinds of things going today. But Lord, you knew the needs of our hearts. And Lord, you intend for us to come boldly before your throne of grace to find help in time of need. You're asking us to pray supplication. You're asking for prayer requests that you can specifically answer. God, I pray that we'll let you burden our hearts for the lost loved ones we have, for the situations that we're facing, for health issues, for our country, for revival. Lord, help us to get burdened about something, passionate about something, to persevere. And sometimes I realize, Lord, you just let things happen so that we will get passionate about our prayer life. And maybe those things didn't have to happen, but they happen. So we'll get passionate. God, help us tonight to correct those issues. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you